Good morning, Windalus. As we sing this song, we encourage you to go find your seats. Let's all stand.
Power of sin and darkness, whose blood is mine.
you guys coming here today, even though it's not nice weather outside. Why don't we greet each other with a handshake in the name of the Lord?
We wait upon the Lord.
Psalm 139, it says, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting. This next song we're about to sing, the first line says, O Lord, you've searched me. You know my way. Even when I fail you, I know you love me. It's like, even if we fail God's test, even if we turn away from him, he's always going to be there for us.
For me, there
To come down to earth, and he didn't have to die for us, but he loved us so much. You know, we use the word I love you, but Jesus's love was greater than anything. God sent his own son to come down here and die for all of us. In verse 3 it says, you go before me, you shield my way. Thinking about that, it's saying that no matter what troubles we go through in life, God always goes before us. He makes sure that he never leaves us or forsakes us. He makes sure that every problem that we have, he's always going to be there for us. We can always call on him. Can we sing the chorus again?
At the cross I bow my knees, where you shed for me, there's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? No greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
For this next song, we're going to sing. I did some research on it. Talking about John Newton, because he wrote the song Amazing Grace. And it said that he was a really bad kid growing up. He would always disobey and do stuff that were bad. And his dad worked on ships. And when he was old enough, he worked on these ships with his dad. And he got into so much trouble. He was making fun of the captain and disobeying and everything. So they beat him. And that didn't work. So then they imprisoned him. And when that didn't work, he got kicked off the ship. Then he started working for a slave ship, and he was still bad. And after beating and imprisonment, nothing worked, so they decided to chain him up with the slaves down on the bottom. And that's when he finally realized what he was doing was bad, because he saw how the slaves were being treated.
He saw how when they go to the bathroom, they don't have like a toilet to go to. They have to go there, and then they have to sleep next to it, and it smells really bad. So he wrote the song Amazing Grace. And Chris Tomlin added the chorus, and it says, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." And to me, it just means that we're like the slaves. We're chained up to our sins and to the world, but God is the person that set us free because he sent Jesus down to die for us, so that we don't have to be chained up anymore. It says, "My chains are gone, I've been set free."
Will be Lord, we just thank you. A constant reminder of what you have done, that the chains have been set free, and we just thank you. But it was a great price. The price, Father, that we sometimes forget, and we needed to be reminded of. The price was horrendous. You died on the cross with a tremendous pain and suffering. But the pain itself, Lord, we knew was nothing in comparison to that one time that he never felt before, a separation from you, the Father, the separation between his Son and the Father. That was the deepest cut, a wound, Lord, that he, the Son, had felt, and even the Father. And Lord, as I pray for this group right now, will you come before us as we prepare even for our hearts to accept your word and let your word dwell richly into our minds. And Father, as we hear it, we learn to let the word saturate into our hearts. That's what our prayer is for us today, Father. Lord, today there are many people who are sick that could not make it today. And so I pray, Father, that you would just give them the strength that they need. Father, I pray that if they are away from this place because of that, Lord, give them the necessary touch from you, the healing that needs to break this illness that is going through them. And Father, for the people who are just couldn't make it because of the weather, Father, I pray that you would just help them a time where they could gather together as a family and encourage and build one another up. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Brother John to get the passage ready. And before we do the offering, it's Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 through 28, which is the passage that we'll be talking about today. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. So I know I put them on the spot, so I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and then we'll come back to it again. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26, it starts out with this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have been found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And this is the theme of today's message. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Father, we stand before you and we proclaim the gift that you're about to give to us. Well, actually, Lord, the gift that we are giving to this church, through us. And Father, we know that all things come from you. The strength that we have, the sustenance, the job that we have, we acknowledge that they all come from you. And so, Father, when we give back, we're giving back because we are demonstrating that we have faith that you will provide for all our needs. This is our offering, our love offering to you and to you alone, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you would help us as leaders of this church to be transparent, to be open on how we spend that money. Because, Father, we want it to glorify you, first and foremost. And secondly, Lord, to bring as many people to you. That was your heart's desire, that they come before you. Lord, we ask and trust that this group would use this in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing for this, I couldn't help but think of Manny Pacquiao. How many of you guys are familiar with him? Okay. I'm going to ask, can you get me water? Thanks. I couldn't help but go back and review his life. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know if it's all true. But this guy has an honorary doctorate degree from Southwestern University for all of the humanities and activities that he had done. Now, why it surprises me is because every single time he gets into a fight and then they interview him. And his words are very, it looks like it's chosen for him as he interacts. Thank you, Emily. As he interacts with the announcer. And in fact, you know, people laugh at him. And I think there's so many times where even the young people would show me their videotape and how he communicates. So his story is that one of the things when he was growing up, he had to leave school because of poverty. In fact, he was a dropout at school. And that's what, then when he went to a dropout, he became famous, boxing and everything. And then from there, he got his GED. And from the GED, he went and started signing up on all of these university classes. And he became what I would say educated, especially in the way he articulated. But one thing that I noticed about Manny Pacquiao is his religious background. He started out as a Catholic. And then at the very, in the same sentence, he was a practicing Catholic and moved to an evangelical. One of the things I noticed about this guy that I want to show you about Mary and Joseph is that even though we make fun of his English, and we could talk about Gunny about that, we make fun of his English, he actually, what I've heard, and I haven't personally heard him do this, but he teaches the Bible. And I mean, not just teach it, but he teaches it with confidence, with the ability to really tell you what the Word of God is really saying. And I've only seen it for a little short portion, but it sounded very clear with what he knew. Why did you choose Manny, Lucian? Because this man was a man who at one point was a high school dropout. And like I said, I don't know of all the degrees that he came back to and says now he has this honorary doctorate and he is part of the so-called House of Representatives in the Philippines. He was elected. So he jumped and leapfrogged. But he was used a dropout from high school. Lack of education, you could see his lack of articulation of communication. His communication skills were minimal, but he was used, and this is the part I want to emphasize. He was used to do great and mighty things. Now, you could tell me, well, Pastor Lucian, the reason why he's great and mighty is because he's the greatest boxer in the Philippines. So he's using his so-called popularity to do that. But if his popularity is he touches the so many larger lives, I wonder if I could take that popularity and bringing him back to a life that he was when he was a dropout and he comes to know Jesus. And when coming to know Jesus, though it may not have the biggest impact that he has in throughout the world and even in the Philippines, would he have the same impact, but on a very limited facility or facet to be able to reach out and touch lives? So how does this correlate to the passage that we just talked about or I just read? Mary and Joseph was in a town called Nazareth. I want you to kind of understand. I love what my daughter Rebecca did. She talked about this song, Amazing Grace. And the story is about this Nazareth. It's similar. Nazareth was like a place where the worst of the worst lived. In fact, the people, the Jewish people considered Galilee a place. It's like Collin County, if I were to describe it. It's like Collin County. And in Collin County, you got different cities like McKinney, Plano, Richardson. Nazareth was one of those places. And Galilee was like a very bad place. Now, the only way I could describe it, and I don't know where you all lived and how you lived, but I could only describe it as like living in the south side of Chicago during the 70s and 80s. Now, I lived there. My wife and I lived, when I got married with her, 83, we lived in her apartment. And in the school, I mean, in the hospital that we lived, they make sure that we were wrapped around with steel bars and very high security. Because if you step outside of that area, gunshots, you can get killed. Because the most devastating type of gangs were very close to us. Nazareth was just like that. In fact, the Jewish people who hated Galilee, they even hated in Galilee, Nazareth was even the worst of all people. So now there's a disciple. His name was Nathanael. He says, can something come out good from Nazareth? Now you understand when they were talking about it. Why would Jesus be in this place, or why would he choose that place? A place where nobody liked. But he chose Mary. He chose Joseph. A place whose reputation was tarnished and bad. And I love this about God. God sends his son into this place to let you know that the very deepest sin, the deepest problems or sin, let me just say it, the word, the deepest sin that you may possibly have in your sin, in your life, that you said, there's no way God could forgive this. There's no way. What does God do? He starts in a place called Nazareth to let you know his love is so deep and so encompassing that he would willingly send that child. And so in this city, the reputation was bad. And he chooses this two people. And I want to just read it to you so you could get a better context. So in verse 26, I'm going to read on. In the 6th month, God sent the angel, Gabriel. And I want you to understand that right away. God sent. God is involved in every facet of your life. You may not feel it, but he is involved in every detail of your life, even in the life of Mary and Joseph. When he was bringing in his son into the world, God was involved. And as he said this, he put him into a place that he knew wasn't well worth it. I don't know why God didn't put him in the King of Kings, but he decided to put him in Nazareth. To a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored." And I love this word. The Lord. Is it up there? Nope. The Lord is with you. You know, there's times where we feel alone, especially in the places that are as bad as that. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph, their reputation? They go in there and God says to them, "Guess what, Mary? The Lord is with you." Now here's what Mary's response. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this says. But the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have been found favor." Imagine this with me. Joseph, a carpenter, Mary, a teenage girl. They're just starting their lives out. And I'm not sure if you guys recall, or how many newlyweds here? Less than 5 years. Okay. Adi's still in her first year, she says. But some are already feeling the battle scars. But during the newlyweds, you're not truly concerned about everything in the world, but what are you concerned about? You're still lovey-dovey. Your eyes, you gaze at each other. It's like nothing this person. But the reality is, in 6 months, when I got married, I knew right away. Well, my wife at least told me. She said, "I don't know who I married. This guy is the most crankiest guy in the morning." And I told her, "I'm not a morning person. I'm always been a night person." But she knew. She goes, "Man, I cannot understand who I married." Very true in our relationship. But Joseph and Mary, the angel comes up and asks them, something happens. Something miraculous is going to happen to Mary. And in her mind, she was already greatly, in verse 29, she was already distressed. And as the angel says, and I'm going to leapfrog to the verse 31. He says, "You will be what? With child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Now remember this. Imagine Mary. I know we can't imagine it today, but I want to bring it into context their era. Today's era, just so you kind of, it's okay to live with another guy. I mean, a guy and a guy, girl and a girl, 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 guy, guy, whatever. But it's okay to live together. In fact, I've heard so many people say, "Why don't we do a trial basis, see if it would work out?" And today, the society, it is okay. But during Mary's time, when the angel came to Mary and said, "Mary, you're going to have a child." Can you imagine what must have gone through Mary's head? Because the worst of the worst, so this is where they were living, the reputation of Nazareth, Galilee is bad. Nazareth was worse. But now, God is going to put my reputation in check. Because to have a child without being married was looked down upon. It was the worst. That's why Joseph was so, he wanted to say quietly divorce her, because he wanted to what? He didn't want to ruin his reputation and try to limit her liabilities and risk as well. But here's what I love this phrase. Even though these troublesome circumstances, have you ever heard this come from God? In verse 30, the angel said to Mary, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." You know, I got to be honest, today, and I know I share with you guys a lot of my practical life with Rebecca, but there's the thing that yesterday we were talking in front of the music group or the worship team. And she says, "I'm afraid," because I asked her to do something that says, hey, you know, you notice this? There is this song here and this song. Maybe you can help your atile to help transition. And I was telling her, why don't you talk through this to this and introduce those songs and make it happen. And she goes, I can't do it. I'm afraid. Because you know why? I want to be honest and transparent with you guys as well. She goes, we ate at Cane's. Lara, that's an advertisement for you guys to eat there. She told me, Dad, you know why I'm afraid? It's because they see me as your daughter. And when they see me as your daughter, they expect some things from me. They expect me to be able to say that from this to this and then make sure that when I'm saying the Bible, that the Bible makes sense and everything. She was trying to tell me all of her fears. And it really dawned on me the responsibility that it is for a person who stands up here and tries to share the Word of God. Not only for me, but for my family. It thrusts them into a limelight that they themselves may not be ready for. Even Rebecca. And as she was sharing this, the word that came out of her was fear. I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want them to know that, Dad, I may not know all the Bible stuff. And I said to her, that's okay. In fact, we had a conversation and I told her, have I ever told you? And I said, that you're beautiful. And she smiled. She knows that. She hears it from me all the time. And I said, you're beautiful. But can I tell you honestly that you being fearful, did I make that for you? Do I come and do I tell you that, do I expect this from you? Do I expect you to become the great theologian of Abraham, Jacob, Paul, Peter, all of them? Did I expect that from you? And she said, no. And I told her, you know what? Then let me deal with the church. You do what you need to do. And so as she was going through it, honestly, I was watching Filipino movies. So at night, I turned on a Filipino movie and I was sitting there and she was off to the side in my room and I was asking, hey, Rebecca, where are you? What are you doing? And to my surprise, she was really preparing for this worship. She was trying to really learn what these songs are about. Do not be afraid. I don't know what your greatest fear is. I don't. But the angel went to Mary, and in Mary's case, they knew this was going to mess their reputation up as a husband and wife. It could end up tearing their family apart. This child that's being introduced into their lives, it could just ruin them. But God says, the angel says to them, don't be afraid. What's your greatest fear? Does God say in His Word, don't be afraid? I'm going to pick on Joe. Joe, I hope I didn't even ask you about this permission, but him and I, we were talking over there last week, and I just want to I don't want to belabor the point, but we were talking. And he asked me about the question about a job and dependency on God. And he was saying it point blank that, well, what happens if I lost my job? And I'm hoping I'm paraphrasing this properly. And in fact, he quit. He quit his job. And I asked him this question. Hey, you quit? Do you have another job? And he goes, no. He didn't have another job. And I said, now in my mind, I was saying confidence. But you know what he said? Because whatever God gives me at that point in my life, I'm going to take it. And I'm going to be there. Here's what I walked away from that. He knows the word, do not be afraid. I've got to be honest, I'm not there. Joe, I'm not. Because today, I want to share with you my job. My job, I am in this management job, and I'm thinking to myself, I am ready to give it up. Because the people that I am working with, totally, we just oppose each other. But I've got to be honest with you, I'm afraid. You know why? You got a certain number of responsibilities. You made so much money already. And it's hard to let it go. Because you think, how can I continue to provide for my family if I were to quit? And I look at this word, it says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. And I love this, guys. Mary, you have been found favor with God. You will be with child and the birth and a son, and you are to give him his name, Jesus. I'm going to continue on. Verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And this is a beautiful response. The angel articulates the reason why you will be highly favored. You will be with child. But look at Mary's response. I love this. Verse 3, how will this be? A young little teenage girl, rightly so, would ask that question. If you guys are interested in that, you would really ask that question. Lord, I don't understand. I'm married to this guy. I've never married Joseph. I've never had relationship with him. And therefore, you're telling me I'm going to have a child? How can this be? Mary didn't go, man, I can't believe it. What's all of this? Is going to ruin all my career path. No, she didn't really argue with God. She didn't even argue with the angel. She just said, I don't understand. How can this have happened? And the angel responds in verse 35. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren in her sixth month. Listen to hear this. For nothing is impossible with God. The angel reminds, the question was asked by Mary, how can this happen? And angel says in response to that, he basically says, here's how it's going to happen, Mary. And he brings that to the forefront. The Holy Spirit will be involved. Now, that's a very important part. Today, that's what we've been, actually, as a believer, he's part of our lives. The Holy Spirit. He's in us. He works in us. And look at what she says. The angel basically says, if you don't believe me, remember Elizabeth? What happened to Elizabeth last week? I told you about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was what? She's without child. And to them, Zechariah said, oh man, there's no possible way that's going to happen. But what does he do? The angel reminds Mary that it is possible. Because I did it with Elizabeth. Elizabeth was praying, and then it happened. Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. Now I'm going to turn to Luke 12. And I want you just to listen to this verse. Luke 12 says 22 to 24. I think the greatest thing that I've seen in, at least I'm going to say this to our fellow Filipinos. One of the things, being raised one of the biggest concern is always money. Position and money. I need to be able to take care of my family. But not just take care of them. I need to be able to give them what I don't have. And here's the passage I want you to hear. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 22 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They do not store rooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. You, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan's world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them." And here's the challenge for us. "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Nope, I'm going to stop there. I'm sorry. Let me just stop there. "But seek ye his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you." Why worry? I know some of you here as a family, I know certain circumstances that are in your lives. Don't be afraid. But let me ask you this, and this is where I want to just close in verse 38. And look at what Mary's response. He was in a bad place, could have been in a bad reputation. But his response, her response was, "Lord, how can this be?" And there was this constant conversation back and forth between him and the angel. The angel reassures her. But here's the key. In verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it to be as you have said." Two things that I want to close with. One, in this ministry, you got to be available. Like what Mary did. Mary could have just said, "No way. Too much. You're going to mess me up. You're going to mess my family up. And you're going to mess my reputation. And this place is already messed up." But what does Mary respond to God asking her of this? She goes, "I am the Lord's servant." She made herself available. I'm going to ask you guys, are you available for what God wants you to do? Number two, I love this. "May it be to me as you have said." Be willing. Be willing to what? Be willing to let God do what he needs to do in you. See, Manny Pacquiao was a man who dropped out of school. Didn't really think. All he wanted to do was fight. All he wanted to do was banter and kick butt in a ring. He didn't know that at the end of that story, he would become famous. But during that famous, he got to know God. And in that meeting with God, he willingly made himself available. How? Can you? I hear this all the time. Don't know if it's true. He brings his pastor with him. They pray. They study the Word of God. He made himself available. Look at, he could fight all the time, every time, and he was fighting and every time. But Manny Pacquiao made himself available. A man who had no high school degree, could not speak, but made himself available. And he made himself willing to use what God has given him. Like I said, I saw him in a YouTube. Are you available? Are you willing? Or are you afraid? Like that guy says, do not be afraid. But are you afraid? Are you afraid to teach? Are you afraid to tell to your children, love God? Here's how you love God. Here's everything. Here, I'm going to show you. Are you afraid because they're going to tell you you're hypocritical? God says, don't be afraid. Be available to read His Word. Be willing to do His Word. Let me close with a clip that I wanted to show you. This clip is exactly where I'm going. And so I hope this kind of portrays the whole entire message. Go ahead, John.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
Well, the platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust. Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no, chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
I want you to walk away being encouraged by that. You are God's original masterpiece. And I want to let you know that in order for that to happen, we've been talking these last 2 weeks about a special triune God called the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage the worship team to come up here. The triune God, the Holy Spirit, came upon this place. In order for that to be successful, you have to have the Holy Spirit in you. There is no secret formula. He says, for by grace are you saved. True faith. And I want you to hear this. It is the gift of God. A gift that He's willingly wanting to share with everyone. Once you let go, and I love this part, once you let Him chip away and let go, you got to be willing. You got to be available for Him to use you. You know, we're going to go through it together. We're going to come go through this journey. And in that journey, there will be a lot of chipping away. Pride. Hurts. Broken relationships. But God, He says, do not be afraid. Let's all stand as we sing this song.
Surrounding me.
What can separate us? Actually, the only thing that separates you and from God is you. God has already extended His hand. He has. But it's up to you. God is giving you the free gift. It's up to you. God is giving you the tools. It's up to you. You know, people, I know God loves you. He does. And I just want to share that His love starts with us accepting His Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that You've come and awoken our hearts and our minds, Father, for what Your Word says. We knew what Mary and Joseph was facing. And even though Mary didn't understand what was going on, Lord, she says, Lord, how can this be? And her response was beautifully said, Lord. We thank You for these. We thank You for these words when she says, may it be done according to Your word. Father, I pray for this group, the people who have been here for such a long time that know You personally as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that they would say the same thing that You've been saying to them for so many years. Don't be afraid. Let me help you. Father, I pray that You would use them. Help them to have that availability to know that they need to meet with You. And Jesus, I pray that even in the quietness of tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all day long, all through this week, Father, that they would meet with You, that they would read Your word, and that they would saturate themselves with You so that this relationship, Father, would be established, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and that Holy Spirit would be woken up so that they would thrust themselves to You and only You, and to totally depend on You, Father, so that they don't have to be afraid. Because God, we know Your love encompasses all of the hurt that we may have gone through, all of the fear that we may be feeling today. Father, You have defeated that because You've already overcome this world. All we have to do is accept it. For those people who believe, Father, been here and still waiting and still asking, Lord, give them the boldness. And Father, for the people that don't know You, don't have this relationship, Father, open their hearts. We talked about it now. I believe that we clearly communicated that this starts with a relationship with you. Their heads have been filled with your word. And so I pray, Father, that you would take and plant that seed. And little by little, touch their hearts. Father, I don't want them walking away not knowing you. So if you feel, Lord, if they are ready to come, Father, I pray that you would give them the boldness to come and talk with me. Allow me to share with them how they can come to know you. We thank you, Lord, for your cross. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. Before we close in our long last song, I just want to welcome Andika, right? Come from all the way from Indonesia, but actually from Florida, hopped over here. He will be working with our brother Lloyd, at his work. Yes, is that right? Welcome him. And I just want to encourage you guys. A couple of other things before we sing our final song. Whose birthday is it? Lloyd and Richard? Yeah, we do. Yeah. Can you come over here?
Josh.
Donald also?
Yeah. Josh.
Okay, come on up here. Josh. Donald, who else?
And your anniversary.
Josh as well? Come on.
Josh.
We're going to start doing this at the end of the month, but come on. Sam's birthday?
Anniversary.
Oh, the anniversary? It's in the key of G? come on, the anniversary. Just want to pray for all of you. Richard, Josh, Mama, come on, man, Josh.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
One more.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
So I'm going to ask, how old are you, Sam? Five. Lloyd? How old will you be? Four. Richard? 10. Chris? 10. Josh? Okay. He's already thinking about his age of duty. In the anniversary? 18 years. And the token. Oh, your birthday too? I know. 24. Okay, why don't we pray? Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this wonderful group up here. Thank you for allowing us to come before them. Come before you, Father, to celebrate this great thing called the birthday. Father, I pray that you would, especially the young kids, Father, today, will you help us as we surround them, that we would be a stronghold and a reflection of who you are before them, so that they would see Jesus. Father, for the anniversary, oh, Father, thank you for the great commitment of 18 years. We thank you that, Lord, this truly comes from you. And I pray that every time we see these kind of things, Father, we know how difficult marriages are. They could still be broken even many, many years. But we, Lord, we just thank you that you keep your precious hand upon them. And Emily and Donald, Father, continue to be a strong commitment to them. Show them, Lord. Help them to show what a good and healthy marriage looks like. We ask this, Lord, in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. We're going to sing our final song, and then we're going to go straight and eat over there. So go ahead, guys.
I hope.
Mm-hmm.